President Obama aims to stop the National Security Agency from collecting bulk telephone metadata. Instead, he wants phone companies to store that data and make it available to the NSA with a judge's permission. He's asked Congress for a legislative fix to NSA surveillance within 90 days. The whole program expires next year, so there's pressure to do something. What are the prospects for a new law now? Well, for some handicapping, we turn to Julian Haddam, the staff writer at the Hill newspaper. Julian, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, so any reaction? Does this call from the president, has it had any effect yet on Congress with respect to the NSA?
Yeah, absolutely. So what the president proposed, as you said, is to basically shift this program from the NSA's hands to private phone companies, have them store it for about 18 months, and let the federal agents search it with a court order. But right now, that's just a proposal. There's no actual legislative language. There's no physical bill, and that's so far kind of the rub. So far, members of Congress have tended to be able to get on board with the call to end the NSA's bulk collection of this telephone phone data. It's the metadata, rather, which is the numbers you dial, how long you talk to someone, and how often you call them, but not necessarily the exact content of your call. But the more heavier lift is going to require a court order for the government to search those records. Some of the biggest defenders of the NSA's programs, like House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, for instance, have said that that's kind of too much. He says that these terrorist threats happen in real time, and agents need to be able to track them in real time and search for them as need requires and not necessarily go to a court all the time.
So let me just ask you this. For there to be a legislative fix, there has to be at least one lawmaker willing to support the idea. Has anybody come forward, or do you suspect that who will be the person to draft such a bill?
So it's not entirely clear yet, and one of the big kind of sticking points could be the issue of jurisdiction. The judiciary committees in Congress have tended to have authority over what's called the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This is kind of one of the laws that authorizes a lot of the NSA activities. But another proposal from House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, as well as the ranking member on that panel, was given authority to the Intelligence Committee, which has tended to be a little more likely to defend the NSA and a little more reticent to make some sweeping reforms. So depending on which committee gets the primary jurisdiction on this, that could kind of depend how the language is worded, which in something like this could have a big influence on how the actual product gets worked out in the end.
And just a detail here, is the court order that the president is calling for, is that the FISA court order or some other court?
Yeah, that's the plan, that the FISA court would have to go through and approve every time the NSA or some other agent wants to search for an individual record.
And this
was one of the reforms the president actually made immediately. Even though the NSA stores that data now, in a speech in January, the president called for a court order to be required for the agents to be actually able to go in and look at those records. So that's already happening. The legislative proposal would kind of cement that for the future.
And it's also true, is it not, that some members of Congress aren't too happy with the FISA court itself?
Absolutely. There is this kind of impression that the FISA court is somewhat of a rubber stamp for the NSA. Critics obviously push back, and they say, these are experienced judges who lifetime of service, et cetera. But it's certainly a very opaque panel. It's very hard to kind of see anything that's going on there. And that's one of the reasons that people tend to be suspicious of this court and might not think that they are always as watchful about civil liberties as they should be. And some of the other criticisms about the president's plan have been from people that want more reform, and they worry that this is just about one aspect. It's just about the NSA's telephone metadata program and not about other collection of bulk records of financial information or anything like that. And they worry that there's an impression that if you reform one thing, then that will stop, and they want a broader reform effort to happen.
And just going back to that process question I asked you about, and you were talking about the jurisdictional issues between judiciary and intelligence, who ultimately will be pulling the strings on this? Because that's how it's going to decide whether the judicial guys who want more reform or the intelligence guys who want perhaps less reform are going to have their say first.
Well, what tends to be probably most likely some sort of negotiation between Congress and the Hill and the White House. This is kind of parliamentarian procedure here that can get pretty in the weeds. What essentially is going to happen is there's some sort of agreement usually is reached and between both lawmakers on the Hill, between leadership as well, the heads of the committees, and the White House. And that from there, we'll kind of see how this moves forward. Probably all those panels, as well as maybe the Armed Services Committee, might have something to say about it. They will all have plenty of input. In the Senate, the number of hearings have already been announced to take a look at this NSA reform proposal. So we'll kind of see going forward who gets the primary committee of jurisdiction, but certainly everyone's going to have their say, no matter who has their say first.
We're speaking with Julian Haddam. He's a staff writer for the Hill newspaper. And I think it's safe to say also that the president would not have been doing this if the Edward Snowden leaks had not come about, because this program was rolling along fine in its own terms. And so does that mean that the president is going to be heavily involved in these negotiations with Congress, something that he hasn't had a lot of inclination to do in other legislative gambits until now?
Yeah, well, it remains to be seen. You're right. This one is one of the big programs revealed by Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor who's now sought asylum in Russia. And it was pretty much unknown before that. There was a lot of controversy when it was first revealed about what was going on here. And the president has criticized Snowden. He's criticized the leaks, but he's acknowledged that there have still been some pretty serious concerns about civil liberties and about people's privacy. And his narrative, the rhetoric that he uses about trying to reform the NSA, is to address some of those core concerns about privacy and civil liberties and people things that people think may be happening to them, while still maintaining many of the anti-terrorist and some of the surveillance capabilities of the program. That defenders say that this has been a critical tool to help connect the dots between terrorists or would-be terrorists or terrorist associates, and that you can't necessarily get rid of that just with one fell swoop. Another kind of criticism about the Snowden leaks is that because of the way they came out and because perhaps the NSA is such a secretive organization, it was not necessarily prepared to kind of come out and defend itself and defend the program as robustly as people might have wanted it to. Some say that there was a little bit of hype and a lot of kind of explosion and a big media circus around these leaks, and the NSA did not necessarily get a chance to, as they would say, better explain their side and the reason for these. So, I mean, the president will be involved going forward. He'll certainly put his head in. He'll certainly kind of speak about this probably in the future. But I think it's kind of the real ball is in Congress's court now. As you noted, this authority runs out next June. So one way or the other, they've got to get something passed or else risk losing the program entirely, which a lot of people have said would be disastrous for national security.
And a tactical thing, the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers is going to retire. He announced that over the weekend. For some reason, he thinks he would enjoy being a radio host more than a congressperson. How does that change the equation?
Yeah, well, that is kind of an interesting little tidbit, a little obstacle that we got thrown here. It's not entirely clear exactly what's going to happen. Some people I've talked to, however, have said that that could kind of sideline him. Like I said, he's been one of the most vocal defenders of the NSA program. He and the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee had a bill that would make some modest reforms but not require the NSA to get a court order to search the records, which has been kind of a sticking point here. And he's also kind of more generally been a big fan of going on, you know, Sunday talk shows and talking about the NSA, which might not be surprising now given his decision to host a radio show, but kind of by being out there and by being on TV a lot, willing to defend this program, it's been one of the biggest defenders and the biggest kind of public advocates for the program. So at least in the public sphere, it could, the NSA's best defense could get a little weaker just because this guy who likes to talk about it might not be out there anymore.
Yeah, you know, about hosting radio shows, that can really can do strange things to any individual. Now, in the...
As well as joining Congress.
That's right. That's where it all starts, maybe. Now, you've got the NSA has produced some odd alliances of conservatives and liberals with respect to, you know, the reaction to it. So would you say that it has an equal chance of living or dying in the House and the Senate, this type of bill that the president has proposed?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. You're right. There has been a weird kind of left and right weird allegiance both for and against these reforms. And some of the most Tea Party darlings like Rand Paul have teamed up with stalwarts like Patrick Leahy to kind of push for reform here. But yeah, there has been so far pretty much an equal amount of pushback both in House and the Senate. There's obviously the House is bigger, so there could be more of a chance for kind of showboating and for wider variety of things going on there. But, I mean, we'll kind of have to see what happens as this goes forward. Some of the top leaders both in both committees, in both houses, are committed to reforming this program and committed to following through on what the president says in one form or another. So we kind of know what the general shape is going to look like. But it's, you know, the small details that are always where the devil lives.
All right. Well, with that, we'll have to say goodbye to Julian Haddam. Julian, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.